Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 2, a story that is familiar to many at this time of year. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn child, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight. And may those things said this afternoon that are true be engraved upon every heart, and those things said that are false be quickly forgotten. And Lord God, we ask that you stir us from our sense of complacency, set our hearts on fire to do your will in our daily lives. All of these things we pray in the name of Jesus, whom we call the Christ. Amen. The text for this afternoon comes from the 10th verse of that gospel lesson I just shared with you. And the angel said to them, meaning the shepherds, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great event which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." On that night, so very, very long ago, outside of Bethlehem, good news, or the gospel, was dawning upon not just a few, not just the chosen, but upon the many, upon everyone, upon the whole world. That was the angel's message to the shepherds. As the birth of John the Baptist signaled the end of an era, the birth of Mary and Joseph's child announced the beginning of a new one. The angel's message of good news originally meant, in the context of that time and place, a victory message sent directly from the battlefield. It was also used by the Roman world as a technical term for the birth of the next emperor. Luke, though, set the stage for a different type of good news. Luke set the stage in his gospel for a conflict not only between the emperor and Jesus, but between two world orders, two understandings of reality. Because you see, in the birth of Jesus, in the incarnation of the invisible God made visible, a new reality, a new way of seeing and understanding who God is and our relationship to God was coming upon the world. If you have lived long enough or experienced enough, you come to the realization that there are two realities. There's a reality that is greater than we experience, and there's a reality that we experience in our everyday lives. And the greater reality overshadows the smaller reality in our lives. If you've lived long enough and have had enough experience, you realize that somehow, somewhere, there is an eternal hand active in the mix of life and of this world in which we live. Therefore, no matter what the circumstances may be, we will not be afraid. For a new reality is dawning. This new reality was first revealed to the shepherds who watched their flock at night, but it continually is revealed to each and every one of us, each and every moment that we are alive. On Sunday mornings, we have been exploring the gospel lessons of Advent and their relationship to Charles Dickens' novelette, A Christmas Carol. And in A Christmas Carol, we have old Ebenezer Scrooge, the grinchiest of grinches, with the coldest of hearts, suddenly have the ice of his heart melt. He saw a reality on that Christmas Eve that the shepherds saw centuries earlier. And in the face of this new reality, Scrooge vowed, "I will keep Christmas in my heart, and I will try to keep it all the year." You see, the eternal reality that the angel proclaimed, that the shepherds saw personified in the manger, and that Scrooge vowed to keep all of the year, breaks into each of our lives at the most unexpected moments. This new reality expunges the old and lets us begin anew. In the words of that great apostle, this new reality tells us that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, for the old has passed away and the new has arrived. We are reminded of this newness as we look at the baptismal font in the center of our chancel area and the baptismal table around which, the communion table around which we gather on a monthly basis. As the Old Testament book of Lamentations reminds us, the steadfast of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never end. They are new every morning. A new reality fell upon the heart of a young man named John D. Rockefeller, Sr., the patriarch of a great clan that followed him. In his early years, he drove himself to the physical exhaustion, and he drove all of those around him unmercifully to accumulate greater and greater wealth. He wanted to earn as much money as he could in his lifetime. And at the age of 33, he earned his first $1 million, which in the 19th century was an extremely tidy sum. And by the age of 53, he was declared the richest man in the world, for he was the world's only billionaire. But he was perhaps also the most hated man in the world. Jesus once asked, "What does it profit a person to gain the whole world and to lose their soul?" John D. Rockefeller, Sr. had to be protected in his native Pennsylvania 24 hours a day by bodyguards because he was so hated. And about the time that he was declared the world's richest man, he developed alopecia, which is a medical condition that causes one's hair to fall out. Not only did he lose all of his hair, but he lost his eyebrows and his eyelashes as well. And his digestive system went out of whack to the point that he could only digest milk and crackers. He literally became a skeleton of his former self, and people who saw him noted his mummy-like features. As his health continued to fail, His physicians told him that he needed to get his affairs in order because he probably would not live to see his next birthday. And when news of Rockefeller's health got out, many were glad because they felt as if no one was more deserving of their misfortune than John David Rockefeller Sr. One sleepless night, Rockefeller realized, for the first time in his life, amazingly enough, that he couldn't take it with him. He could not take one dime that he held onto so tightly into the next world. And like Scrooge, and like the rich man in Jesus' parable, he learned that there is more to life than things. He learned that at the end, it is not the person with the most toys who wins. When he got out of bed the next morning, even though he had had a sleepless night, he was amazingly refreshed because he was a new man, at least mentally. He began to share his wealth and to spread it around with churches and benevolent societies, and he established a foundation that was designed to fund medical research, a foundation that eventually helped develop penicillin and other antibiotics. He tried to give as much money away as he possibly could in the remainder of his days, and an amazing thing happened to him. He began to sleep better and eat better, and he began to enjoy life more. There is even an iconic picture of old John David Rockefeller Sr. handing a child a dime, which actually meant a great deal at that time. There was an amazing transformation that took place. The man that doctors believed would not live to see his 55th birthday actually lived to celebrate his 98th birthday. For you see, there were two John David Rockefellers. No one could argue that the first incarnation of John David Rockefeller made the second possible, but I don't think that is the case. Not if the gospel is really good news. I believe that Rockefeller missed a lot of happiness in his life by placing the ladder of success against the wrong wall. But like the prodigal son who came to himself before it was too late, and like the thief on the cross beside Jesus, asked to be enter into paradise and God's kingdom with Jesus, and like old Ebenezer Scrooge who came to himself vowing to live Christmas every day of the year, John David Rockefeller came to his senses before it was too late. The message of the angels to the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks that first night of Christmas: be not afraid, for unto you a Savior has been born in the city of David, is a message that still rings true today. No matter what happens to us in life, no matter the greatness of our joy or the depth of our loss, no matter the mountaintops that we ascend or the dark valleys we must walk through, we are invited to remember the child of whom the angels sang. Be not afraid, for Christ is here with you. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age, Jesus told his followers at the close of Matthew's gospel. On this Christmas Eve, may each one of us sleep peacefully, and may we be touched during our sleep by the grace of God and awakened with a new understanding of what it means to be alive, what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be claimed by God in our baptism, and what it means to be fed at Christ's table. May we, like the shepherds, seek diligently that Christ child and find him. And may we too not be afraid, for we have heard the good news, the gospel. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.